2 Samuel chapter 9, and let's read verse 1. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness, that I might show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" For Jonathan's sake. Now it is true that the Old Testament gives us the history of God's dealing with this national people we call Israel. But never forget, all Scripture was given by God to teach us and to show us the way of salvation in Christ Jesus. That's what this is all about. To Him give all the prophets witness. Moses wrote about Christ and the gospel in the Lord Jesus Christ. To Him give all the prophets witness. This is the way the early church preached the gospel, and Paul through the book of Acts. They took the Word of God and showing by the Scriptures and proving and declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He is the appointed Savior, the anointed Savior, sent to save those covenant people. Now this story of David showing mercy to Mephibosheth, it's an interesting story just on the surface of reading it. But it's given to teach us the way God saves sinners, as David had mercy on Mephibosheth for Jonathan's sake. Even so, the Lord Jesus Christ has mercy toward us. And the only reason that He has mercy toward any of us is because of the gospel's sake, the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. We're taught in Scripture to love one another, to forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. And that's the only reason for forgiveness, is that covenant of grace in Christ Jesus. Now this message has 5 points. The first one is this. We see the design of mercy. Secondly, we see the object of mercy, verse 2 down through verse 4. Thirdly, we see the application of mercy in verse 5. Fourthly, we see the response of mercy in verse 6, 7, and 8. And then lastly, in the fifth point, in verse 7, 8, and verse 13, the result of mercy. The result of mercy. Now let's look at these, each one, for a few minutes. First of all, the design of mercy. The design of mercy. Again, 2 Samuel 9, verse 1, and David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show, that I may give kindness, mercy for Jonathan's sake?" For Jonathan's sake. David is determined to show mercy because of the love that he has for his dear friend, Jonathan. Now turn to 1 Samuel 18. Let's read a couple places here. 1 Samuel 18. When David had slain the Philistine giant, and they all inquired, "Well, who is this young lad?" And Saul finally found out that it was David, the son of Jesse, and he invited him to his home, said, "You come and live with me." He adopted him into the family. Well, King Saul had a son about the age of David, Jonathan. In 1 Samuel 18, verse 1, "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and David loved him as he loved," excuse me, "with the soul of Jonathan, and Jonathan loved him as he loved his own soul. And Saul took him that day, would not let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul, and Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, gave it to David, his garment, even his sword, his bow, and his girdle." Said, "David, take it all." And their hearts were knit together in love. Mercy was determined to extend to Jonathan's family because of the covenant of love between David and Jonathan. Mercy was purposed before it was ever imparted and enjoyed by Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth. And here's a picture of mercy revealed in Christ Jesus. The Father loveth the Son. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into His hand. He that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not, the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. The salvation we enjoy as sinners are the result of the eternal covenant made within the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, of which the Lord Jesus is called the surety, the guarantor of the blood of the everlasting covenant. Let's turn and read that in Hebrews chapter 13. The Lord Jesus is the guarantor, the surety, the covenant sacrifice of that everlasting eternal covenant of grace, of which the Lord said, "All that the Father hath given to me, they will come to me, and those that come to me I will in no wise cast out. All that the Father hath given him, they shall be saved by this blood covenant arrangement." In Hebrews 13:20, "Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep to the blood of the everlasting covenant." God chose a people unto salvation from eternity and gave them to Christ. And He died for their sin, worked out a perfect righteousness for them. It's the blood of the everlasting covenant. It'll make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is that covenant of grace we read of all through the Scripture. Find Ephesians chapter 1. All spiritual blessings given to us flow out through this covenant mercy, through this covenant of grace in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, notice verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly things," or heavenly places, all spiritual blessings, "according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy." He didn't choose us because we were holy. He chose us that we should be holy in Christ, without blame before Him in love in Christ, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. All covenant blessings flow out to us because of this covenant arrangement guaranteed by the blood sacrifice and satisfaction of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mercy, salvation, and all spiritual blessings were eternally purposed in Christ Jesus before the world began, before they were ever imparted to us in grace. They were purposed of God in that covenant of grace. Now find 2 Timothy 1:9. Just as mercy was purposed before Mephibosheth was ever born, even so, this covenant of grace in Christ Jesus, mercy was purposed to give to us. Grace was purposed to give to us before we were born in that covenant of grace. 2 Timothy 1:9. Look at this. Verse 8, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord," this is 2 Timothy 1:8, "nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace." Now watch this. "Which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." Through the gospel of Christ. Our blessed Lord, who is the surety of this covenant, honored all covenant obligations for us. The law of God had to be honored, had to be satisfied. God's not going to just wink at our sin and pass over our sin without His justice being honored, without His law being satisfied. The Lord Jesus Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He did honor the law. He did magnify the law for us. Our Lord said, "I didn't come to destroy the law, I came to honor it." He did establish a perfect righteousness for His people. And He gives that unto them, freely imputes that unto them by His grace. And He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. As the high priest, he didn't bring the typical animal sacrifice, did he? He didn't bring the blood of bulls and goats. He entered into once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us with his own blood. You see, he satisfied all the terms of that covenant of grace. Therefore, God can be a just God, a loving Father, and a just God, and show mercy to us, be just and justify the ungodly through Jesus Christ. That is, my friend, the design of mercy in Christ. Now look back at the story again. 2 Samuel 9:1. So there's the design of mercy. Purpose of God in eternity. Before we were ever born. And we were given to the Lord Jesus Christ in that covenant of grace. And in time, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them. And in the fullness of time, He sends the gospel our way through God's servant in the power of the Holy Spirit. And He sends that word, the word of grace, through that covenant of mercy and quickens us. Of His own will beget He us with the word of truth. Now, the second point in this message is this. We see the object of mercy. The object of mercy in verse 2 and verse 4. And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they called him unto David, the king said to him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And he said, Where is he? Verse 4, Where is he? He's down in the house of a slave, down in Maker's house, living in the land of Lodabar, a low place. He was a low life, living in a low place. Here's the object of mercy. King Saul's family. Now, this was a former king. He had some kind of earthly reign and earthly glory, but King Saul's family had been reduced to a lowly crippled, and his name was Mephibosheth. Well, how did he become lame? Turn over here to 2 Samuel 4. When there was a mighty battle in Israel, and tidings came out from Jezreel that the tide had turned against Israel, and their king, King Saul, had been slain. The generals had been slain. Jonathan had been slain. And when the nurse heard the news, thinking that Mephibosheth's life was in danger, she took up the young man. And we see here in 2 Samuel 4, verse 4, Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame. Lame on his feet. He was 5 years old when tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. They were dead. They were killed. And the nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste, that he fell and he became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. Ruined in a fall. How did he become lame? Ruined in a fall. Where does he live? In the house of bondage. Down in Maker's house. In a low place of Lodabar. No pasture. My friend, David was determined to show mercy to this one who was nobody. He was a nobody. But for that covenant's sake, he made Mephibosheth an object of his mercy. And God is determined to show mercy to who? Ruined sinners. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. How were we ruined? Ruined in a fall. In Adam, all died. In Adam, all became sinful. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Death passed upon all men, in whom all sinned in him. When Adam stood, I stood. When he fell, I fell. He was my representative. We live, not only are we ruined by a fall, but like Mephibosheth, we live in a house of bondage. Under the curse of God's law. Cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do. We are born in sin, shaping iniquity. That's how I'm born into this life. Ruined and in bondage to slave, a bondage and slave to sin and self, not to God. Paul describes the unbeliever this way in Ephesians 2, without God, without hope, without help, and without Christ. That's pretty poor shape. But that's us. In bondage to sin, in bondage to death, in bondage to the law of God, loving darkness rather than light, in the house of no pasture. That's low. And yet David made him an object of mercy, and God Almighty is pleased because of that covenant to show mercy to such as we are, dead, defiled, guilty, filthy sinners. Is that you? The Lord Jesus Christ died for who? The ungodly. The ungodly. Well, here's the third point to this message. The application of mercy. The application of mercy. Look at verse 5 in the text. Verse 5. Then King David sent. He sent and fetched him out of the house of bondage, out of the place of no bread. This is where we get that term, fetching grace. Fetching grace. King David commands that Mephibosheth be brought to him. The king sent. You reckon it's going to be done? Ziba said in verse 11, to all that my lord the king commandeth his servant, so shall thy servant do. David commands that he be fetched out of the house of bondage and brought before the king. We read in the psalm, where the word of the king is, there's power. David didn't say, now Mephibosheth, would you go down to the house of Maker down there, and would you invite old Mephibosheth to come up here? Would you ask him if he would come up here and help us? We need his help. He didn't do that. He said, you go down, fetch him, bring him. No invitation was given. No conference was held. No committee sent. What the king said was carried out. God spake and it was done. God commands and it stands fast. Whatever God says, it will be done. He said, I purposed it, I'll bring it to pass. I purposed it, I will do it. And here's a beautiful picture of effectual grace, irresistible grace, fetching grace in the call of God. Our God is not a beggar. God doesn't beg sinners to repent. He commands all men everywhere to repent. Is that what the Word says? That's right. Repentance and faith are both the commands of God. God's not a beggar. What God has decreed shall be done. God is not trying, contrary to what men are saying in our day, God is not trying to save all men everywhere. He is graciously calling out His covenant people with the gospel, and His sheep will hear His voice, and they will follow Him. His people shall be willing in the day of His power. That's why we don't stand at the end of the service and sing 14 verses of Just As I Am and beg sinners to let God have His way. That's nonsense. Show me that in the Word of God. It's not in there. We stand and preach the gospel and we command sinners to bow to Christ. And His people will. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. He's the captain of our salvation that's bringing many sons unto glory. The just one died for the unjust that he might do what? Bring us to God. He said, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me. Draw him. And this is the irresistible power of God in the gospel. And He makes us willing in the day of His power. Well, that's the call. That's the call of grace. The irresistible call of grace. And we see God applying mercy to this young man. And God shows mercy to whom He will. It's sovereign mercy. He will have mercy. And notice this. He called Mephibosheth by name. You go get Mephibosheth. It wasn't a general call, was it? It was a specific call to this one of the covenant. You'll go get Mephibosheth and bring him to me. Well, what's going to happen? Is Mephibosheth going to show up? What if he doesn't want to? He doesn't have a choice. There's no option here. Failure is not an option. Here we see the response of mercy, verse 6, 7, and 8. Now, when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, here, The Lord knows his sheep by name. He's acquainted with them from eternity. Mephibosheth! This is the call of the king. David said, Mephibosheth! Oh, he answered. When God calls, you answer. You answer. You answer that call. And the response here, behold thy servant. Behold thy servant. Here's the response of mercy. Mephibosheth fell on his face. He fell on his face. See verse 6. When he was come, he came at the call of God, at the call and the command of the king. And that's how we come. He was come unto David, and we come unto the king. He's the one who's calling. King Jesus, the Lord Jesus. And he fell on his face. And we do fall on our face, and we do reverence the king. We own the king. We worship the king as King of kings and Lord of lords. Mephibosheth fell on his face before the king and worshiped the king. He bowed to his rule. He said, behold, I'm your servant. I'm your servant. What a high title for any sinner to be called a servant of God. Put that on my tombstone, will you? A servant of God. A bondslave, a willing, loving bondslave of Jesus Christ. He fell on his face and reverenced the king, worshiped the king. He bowed to his rule, said, I'm your servant. I'm your servant. Thirdly, he owned his condition. Look what he says in verse 8. He bowed himself and said, what am I? Who am I that you should show mercy to such as me? That thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am. I'm a dead dog. I'm as good as dead. Those who are called by the gospel, they do come. They do come to Christ in faith. And they do reverence Him as King. They do own Him as King of kings. Holy and reverent is Thy name. They take their place before Him as Lord. Saul of Tarsus, when he was unhorsed and put in the dust, you remember what he said? Lord, what would you have me do? A servant of the Lord. A bondslave of the Lord. And sinners called by God's grace, they take their place before Him as Lord. Secondly, they own their true condition. I'm a dead dog. I'm a dead dog. Isn't that what the publican said? God be merciful to me. Be my sacrifice. The sinner. The sinner. You remember the story of Job. Job said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor, I hate myself, I repent in dust and ashes. Repentance is a good thing. Conviction of sin is a good thing. If you're never convicted of sin, you'll never have any esteem and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith and repentance go together. They grow together. They appreciate one another. As I grow in conviction and the deep conviction of my sin, as it drags me down, faith is exalted in our heart. And we see that the Lord Jesus Christ puts away all our sin. True Holy Spirit conviction shows us our sin, but it doesn't leave us there. It shows us the remedy for our sin. Christ and Christ alone. You remember that woman of Canaan? She came seeking mercy for her daughter. You remember that story? And the disciples, she came to the disciples and they said, Master, send her away. She's bothering us. And the Lord said, I'm not sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You remember what she said? She took her place before the master and said, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. She said, I'm your dog. And I'm going to bow at your feet and eat what crumbs God is pleased to send us. And that's what we do. We get a crumb here and a crumb there. But thank God we do eat that true manna from heaven. Well, lastly, we see the result of mercy. The result of mercy in verse 7. The result of mercy. David said unto him, fear not, fear not. I will surely show kindness, mercy, for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. He says this several times here, that you eat bread at my table, as a king's son. The last part of verse 11, as for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. Verse 13, so Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and he was lame on both of his feet. Now, lastly, the result of mercy. David restored unto Mephibosheth all that he lost. David fulfilled every covenant promise, adopted him into his own family, provided bread for him at the king's table. In Christ Jesus, we have restored to us all that Adam lost and much more. Where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. In Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. In Christ, God has given to us all grace now and all glory hereafter based upon that covenant. He meets all our need. Notice that singular. He meets all our need according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. And we eat bread at the King's table, and we eat the bread of life, Christ Himself. In Christ we have been made sons of God. Sons of God. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. Beloved, He says, now are we sons of God. We eat at the King's table by the King's command, being adopted into His family, being made heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. In Christ we've been made sons of God. Turn to Galatians chapter 4. Look at this here. You ever notice this carefully? Galatians chapter 4, quoted a part of this a moment ago. In Romans 8, He calls us heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, Galatians 4, 4, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, sons of that covenant, sons of grace, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God. An inheritance is something that's given to you. We've been made an heir of God through Christ Jesus. In Christ we have a continual, everlasting blessing. Just as Mephibosheth sat at the king's table continually, in Christ Jesus, being made heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, being made and having an everlasting inheritance, we have an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, that's reserved in heaven for His people who are kept by the power of God through faith. In Christ, we have continual, everlasting blessings, not temporary. He saves us with an everlasting salvation. He gives unto us eternal life, and we shall never perish. In Christ, our wounds are covered. Now look at this carefully. Look at verse 13. In Christ, our wounds are covered. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, city of God. For he did eat continually at the king's table, and he was lame on both his feet. In Christ, our wounds are covered. Now Mephibosheth, he's sitting at the king's table, and his legs are under the table. Amen. His wounds are covered. You're looking at Mephibosheth like he's whole, and he is. But his wounds are covered by the table of God's grace. And we sit at the king's table, and our wounds are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. Mephibosheth still had the effects of the fall, and we still have the effects of sin. In our body dwelleth no good thing. In us, there's nothing but sin. But in Christ, I'm whole. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in Christ, we are complete. Well, let me tell you one more thing about Mephibosheth. Turn over here to 2 Samuel 21. 2 Samuel 21. Later on, now I don't know how many years had passed, but later on in 2 Samuel 21, there was a famine. There was a famine in the land. God sent a famine because of Saul, old King Saul. It says in verse 1, he was a bloody man, and he slew many of the Gibeonites. Well, he violated an agreement that Joshua had made with the Gibeonites long years before, and he violated that agreement. Verse 3, wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, what shall I do? He's trying to make up for what happened through the house of Saul. Wherewith shall I make an atonement that ye may bless the inheritance of the Lord? And the Gibeonites said to him, we'll have no silver or gold of Saul, nor of his house. Neither for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel. Don't you execute him. And he said, What ye shall say, that we'll do. Now this is David speaking to the Gibeonites. Now what's going to happen? They answered the king, the man that consumed us, O Saul, that devised against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coast of Israel. Let 7 men of his sons, his grandsons, his great-grandsons, any that's left of the house of Saul, let 7 men of his sons be delivered unto us, and we'll hang them unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king said, I'll do it. Now, wait a minute. Mephibosheth is part of that family. What's going to happen? Look what he says here. But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that he made between them, between David, the son, and Jonathan, the son of Saul. David spared him. He delivered up those other 7 sons. They weren't part of that covenant. They weren't part of that agreement. But he would not give up Mephibosheth because of that covenant made with Jonathan. You see the picture there? There's coming a day of judgment among the kings, among the sons of old King Saul, among the sons of old Adam fallen. And they won't be spared. God's justice will be swift and exact. But the sons of God in Christ Jesus, in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation. We'll be spared because of that covenant of grace in Christ Jesus. I say with David as his dying words, in 2 Samuel 23, look at verse 5, although my house be not so with God, yet he made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure. This is sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although it doesn't seem like anybody else in my family is interested. Oh, Absalom wasn't, the rest of his family, but God had singled me out and made me a covenant child in Christ Jesus. Well, thank God for His covenant mercy in Christ Jesus. David showed mercy to this young cripple only because of that covenant. And God shows mercy to us only because of that covenant. You see that? Do you understand that? Well, I hope you do. I hope you do. And if you don't, I pray the Lord would teach you all the gospel according to His wise purpose.